Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Arcana Special Number 1, The Adder's Den. On the cover, Arcana stands wielding the Staff of Bologenos proudly in her hand, with wind whipping her hair around her face. All around her are bright cosmic lights and stars, with the constellation Serpens highlighted and posed to strike. The caption declares, "This promise of power has a bite." So we get our first panel that has basically the last time on. It's doing the recap, and it's helpfully doing the kind of recap that tells you just the important stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to talk about mice or transforming robots or anything like that. But it has the big symbol of the appointed up on top. Mm-hmm. And underneath it, it has basically a couple little like splash panels that have been in previous other issues. And it shows Alina, and she's training, and she's looking badass, and we get like a moment with her and the asset, and it has like the big description boxes that are explaining the whole relationship and everything like that. And we see a panel that shows Mindshot in the new base in like the little like prison complex
okay.
that she's in.
Yes.
But most featured is a couple of panels that have the description of the Staff of Bologenos. And it being this wild magical artifact, we get the scene of you buying it mm-hmm. in the secondhand shop. And there was an asset comic a couple weeks back that really explicitly showed one of the members of the appointed talking about getting the Staff of Bologenos. And so that wasn't in our run, but like, you know, it has been in another one. And so that's important.
Okay.
The next page, we've got just our title page, and it shows, it has the name of the artist. And for this one, the primary writer and the primary artist were the same person. He's the guy who wrote The Fox in Autumn, which is this big, colorful comic that was pre-Protean City that basically introduced John Hobb and showed his creation and him becoming Puck. And so this guy's got like a really splashy, watercolory, dreamlike quality to all of his work.
Very ethereal.
Yeah, definitely. And so it actually kind of contrasts sort of poorly with the introduction page that it's exactly opposite. Like this shows kind of we're going in a weird different direction.
Okay.
And it has also just a first image of Arcana. And this one is disconnected from the rest of the story. It's just kind of giving a atmospheric thing. And it shows Arcana just sort of sitting down and looking at a couple of the pictures that she got from Fracture back in Volume 2. And she's the way that she's drawn, she just looks like a little bit younger than she normally looks, just a little bit pulled back, a little bit separated, kind of giving her a little bit of space to just kind of process some of her feelings. And then we move into the comic proper.
Okay.
So our first panel has up at the top the whirring sound of a helicopter. And what is Alina doing as she hears the helicopter arriving at her base?
She's checking her watch and making the mental calculation as to how long the trip actually took.
Okay. So we see Alina putting down just the note of how much time had gone past between the asset calling her and the helicopter arriving. So, because that's obviously a good thing for you to know how long it's going to be when you do get that communication.
Yes.
And how long does it take for him to get to you?
It takes 1 minute and 35 seconds.
Okay. So that gives you a little bit of wiggle room if you are having an unwanted visit.
Yes.
But we get like the security system goes off and it shows you a couple of images of the helicopter, which is Dewey's helicopter. Mm-hmm. And it gives you like the biometric reads, which it quickly establishes. There's just one person in the helicopter and it is Dewey. He's listed as Paul Dewey with quotes, young. The next panel shows him arriving, pushing a crate into the kind of like the common area of your base.
So I'm just going to walk over to Dewey and, you know, grab a corner of the crate.
Okay.
And ask him, what's up?
Yeah, and he gives you like a thankful smile. The crate itself isn't super heavy, but it's definitely big and unwieldy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, does he know you as Alina or as Arcana?
I think, he's been inside my base.
Yeah.
So I think we're on first name terms.
Okay.
I don't think I know his real name. I think I only know him by Dewey.
Okay. So he says, thanks, Alina. Sorry he didn't come down.
Yeah. What's up? What has he been up to? I haven't seen him around.
He's been busy. It's been a lot of covering tracks, some taking out of pieces of information that lead to Falcon that connect to him, just kind of cleanup work with the aftermath.
Mm.
And I probably shouldn't say this, but he's been a little weird with the whole Puck thing.
Weird? I mean, why is he weird?
Well, you know how he is about magic and mutation and all that stuff. And, you know, got in a bit of an argument last time he was here.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping that we could all just forget about that, but unfortunately, Puck didn't go for. And then I realized I probably shouldn't have revealed that I had asked Puck to maybe alter some memories.
Oh, that's great. I think that partially went over Dewey's head.
Okay.
Because he's not intimately familiar with Puck, but definitely enough for our readers to have like, ooh. So he takes a crowbar that's attached to the side of this big wooden crate and pops the top of it off and just like kind of like lets it clatter next to the box and rubs his hands together and reaches in to take out the staff of Balagenos. So this is a magical artifact that you had picked up before. All of this was in the description text, but it is two twisting staff pieces that are like kind of intertwined with each other, like sort of like a little like DNA, but not getting quite that look, more like the medical symbol. And one of them is a really dark brown wood, and one is like this bone white material, and it just kind of leads up into a point at the end. Like it could, and you found out that it's a little sharper than it even looks. Like mm-hmm. it's a little bit like a javelin,
okay.
But only on one end, and with that kind of like twisted arcane sort of look to it, and it has some little grooves and sort of runes along the path of the white wood. You can feel the runes on the darker wood as well, but it's dark enough in the material that you can't actually see it on the page. So he takes it out and he says, "You interested in doing a little bit of recon?"
Absolutely. That thing tore through my favorite backpack.
So he hands it over to you, and he takes like a note out of his back pocket, and he just kind of like awkwardly hands it over. He kind of rolls his eyes a bit and he said, "He didn't want me to know who you were going to be talking to. So I haven't read the note."
Okay.
You know how he is. He's just kind of keeping me on the outside of this need to know basis, I guess.
All right. Well then, thank you.
Absolutely. And let me give you a little bit of space. And if you need a transport, I'd be happy to take you somewhere.
That's great, Dewey. Thank you.
And he kind of like gives a little chuckle as you say his name. And he says, you can call me Paul if you want.
Paul?
Paul's my name, actually. Dewey's back. So the acid and I did some training together. Back in the day, I asked, "Do we have to do this?" too many times, and I'm Dewey.
Oh, well, that certainly makes sense. And Well, at least I know one of your names.
And he smiles at that and he says, someday he'll tell you, I'm sure. He wants to.
I was just under the assumption he had forgotten he had one to begin with.
He uses it occasionally. I've seen him drop it at Starbucks. So he gives you a load of space, and then the next panel shows the note, and it's written in just this scrawling, wild handwriting that is the asset's terrible penmanship. And it starts with A, because of course he wouldn't write your name, because that would be insane. And it goes through and it says, sorry not there, wanted to be, lots of work, period. And then the next line has an address, and it says, normally wouldn't send you here, but he knows what he's about. And if there's anyone who can tell us what's going on with the staff, then it will be him. And then, comma, it says the name, Adler Adder. So that's probably a name that you have heard in your life in general, because he's a big Silver Age hero. He is a psychic.
Okay.
That does all sorts of things with like astral projection and things like that. He was huge in the Silver Age, and he has this kind of like snake motif going on, but has mostly been used in recent comic runs for people to kind of like go to him. He doesn't do a lot of superheroing anymore, but it's a familiar enough name that it would be something that you would know with him.
Okay.
And then it's just signed A.
Well, this could have easily been a note to self. If he was crazy,
so and he might be. He's going like, okay, I gotta remember to check him out. I wouldn't send myself to him, except that I have to.
Okay, so I think I know by reputation where Adler sets up shop.
Yeah,
right?
And it's got an address there that you can get to. So you can go yourself, or if you want to keep Dewey in the dark, or you can have him get you into the area, whatever you want to do.
I think it's a nice day. I'll probably just take a walk.
Okay. It sounds great. And so we get a shot of you kind of like waving bye to Dewey and him starting to get the crate back into the empty crate back into the helicopter. So you're heading down and we get like a shot of you out on the street, just walking through. It's not too far. What is Alina dressed like? Is she in like a superheroic gear? What is she doing with the weird twisted staff that she has to carry around that rips through backpacks?
Okay. Well, after, her first run-in with the staff, I've got it in a sort of, pack that's designed for, artist easels.
Oh, okay.
So I have it slung across my shoulder. It's casual tank top, jeans, comfy sneakers, and mask is in the back pocket.
Very nice. And yeah, so we get definitely a couple of panels to show that. One that just is the artist just like kind of celebrating winter in Protean City and like just showing like some like dangling icicles and like showing some people playing and walking in the street and everything like that. And then like one shot that shows you now in front of this this big doorway into brownstone. And out of the back of your pocket, we can see like just like a hint of the mask and then quickly pushing it back into the pocket to make sure that's hidden. And you're at that door.
Well, the note didn't say anything about him expecting me, so I suppose it's mostly the best to knock.
Sounds good. So we get the panel of you knocking, and then there's just like one waiting panel, and then the door opens up, and inside is an older man. He's probably in his late 60s, early 70s. He's in kind of slouchy formal clothes, so he's got a sweater on and some khakis on his face. One side of his mouth has like a little bit of a droop to it. And on that same side, he has a big eye patch that covers from like the middle of his forehead down to about his cheekbone.
Okay.
But he also has on his hands, you can see snake tattoos that are kind of just like leading down towards his knuckles. As you are standing there at the door, he looks at you and he goes, oh, You have a gift to you.
Hi, I'm Lena. I believe a mutual acquaintance may have recommended I see you.
Come in. You don't have to explain things in coded language. Once we get inside, you'll be fully shut off from any noise or listening. Do you have any technology on you that you wouldn't want scrambled?
Meaning destroyed?
It'll work, but a lot of the data will be lost.
Okay, so yes, I have my cell phone and my backup cell phone and my backup cell phone.
His brow like furrows for a second and he says, I think I know who our mutual friend is. And then he like turns to a side table and takes out a little lockbox that he holds out to you. And like it has instructions on the inside for how to set your own code. He doesn't need to have any access or knowledge of how to get into it.
Okay.
So presumably you toss those phones in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he locks it up tight and he says, hope you remembered the code. And then puts it back onto the side table and invites you in.
So, if you have an idea of who our mutual friend is, do you know why I'm here?
No, not the faintest, to be honest. But he leads you inside, and we get a big splash page, and it is just wildly detailed. It's this huge entrance hall that looks like a library, and it has a bit of a bigger on the inside sort of feel to it. And there's just the air inside is swampy and feels kind of like heavy and a little wet. And there's like some clouds to kind of show that. And there's just books everywhere that are probably ruined because of this atmosphere. This is a very bad atmosphere for books, but a very good atmosphere for snakes. And there are snakes just kind of like moving in and among the books and like hanging down from light fixtures and moving along the floor. And, like, as he comes in, he even, like, kind of, like, reaches out to a table in the middle, and a snake just kind of, like, slithers up his arm, and he moves and he sits down in a big, like, comfortable chair that's opposite another big comfortable chair, and he asks, can I get you anything? Water? Tea?
No, I came here because we discovered this artifact just in the nick of time before it fell into the wrong hands, and I wanted to know more about it, and I take out the staff.
He gets like a big grin on his face, and he says, just like our mutual friend, straight to business. All right, let's take a look at this thing. And he reaches out his hands to take it from you, if you don't mind.
Yes.
And so he takes it, and we get a panel of him kind of like inspecting it and moving it around a little bit, and says, this is a very powerful instrument.
I figured as much. The symbols etched on it, they look like runes, so I assume that it's Nordic in some vein.
Older, actually. Much older. This staff has seen some interesting things through the years. And as he's starting to say this, he reaches up to his eye patch and just pulls it up and moves it to the other eye. And you can see now that he has, two bite marks, like fang marks above and below his eye.
Oh my God.
And the eye itself it looks exactly like a snake eye.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Alina is a little freaked out.
So he's like just looking at it, and like all of this is just in bright, wild, like it's vibrant colors on the page. And the snake at this point has like just moved itself to like kind of like be hanging around his neck and is also kind of like sniffing at the staff as he's moving it around. And his brow furrows and he says, this has been hidden away from people. It hasn't been used for centuries, possibly millennia. Certainly it hasn't been used properly for millennia. It has a purpose to it. It has a direction that it is moving. This is quite a find.
So what was it designed for? It's very old.
I will be quite honest. I don't know. But there are ways that we can do some deeper exploration into it if you're willing to take a risk.
Okay. So can I assess the situation?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So assess the situation is a roll plus superior.
Okay.
Do you want to assess the situation or pierce the mask?
Because
piercing the mask would be trying to kind of figure out if he's giving you crap and nonsense. Assess the situation has more to do with like potential danger and things like that.
I want to assess the situation.
Okay, sounds good. You can always do one then the other. That is a 7 plus superior?
9.
Okay, great. So on a 7 to 9, you ask 1, and you'll take a plus 1 when acting on the answers.
So I'm a little on edge.
Okay.
So I'm already mapping out my points of egress. What is the most vulnerable in this place to me?
Okay. So definitely, there's definitely two kind of answers to that. He didn't lock the door or anything like that as far as you can see. So it's probably a door that kind of just locks on its own, like a regular door.
Mm-hmm.
As far as you could tell, it isn't locked in any other way. So you could probably walk out the door.
Okay.
Additionally, Adler, and this is something you actually probably know about Adler Adder, just from knowing a lot about heroes in the city, is not a big physical threat.
Okay.
And you could take him.
Okay. All right.
If you got into like a psychic thing with him, it would be probably tougher.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting involved in, for example, the kind of astral projection that he's talking about potentially doing, he is a much more powerful in that kind of realm.
Okay.
But if you punched him in the face, he'd go down.
Okay. Well, that actually makes me feel a little bit better.
Good.
So,
and you'd take a plus one to punch him in the face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just give him another discerning glance.
Yeah.
Probative glance, let's call it. And all right, show me the way.
And he nods at that and stands up and moves. We get like a panel of him moving a little further into the house, which I... Are you following along?
Yes.
Okay. So the next room is very much like a, like one of those reptile houses at a zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't have the weird fake rocks, but it has lots and lots of enclosures for snakes. And he moves among them, kind of like looking at each one briefly, and then stops. And we get kind of like a little bit of a panel that shows you sensing him using some of his psychic ability.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Mithondates. Yes, that'll do well. His venom should help us. And he just kind of like reaches into the enclosure and just like has like a little bottle in hand. And the snake slithers over and bites into the bottle and gives some venom for him. And he pulls it on out and moves to a table that has that has in the center, it has like some candles that he quickly lights up, and it has shot glasses in front of like 5 different seats. And he sits down at one of them and pours a little bit of the venom into one shot glass and reaches across to pour into one across from him, and just kind of gestures for you to sit down and says, with the venom of serpents, we are able to use our psychic minds better and touch into pieces and parts of the realm of, well, reality that normal humans can't. You have the gift, and this will help you to briefly awaken that gift. You and I will travel into the astral plane and see if we can find answers, see if we can find something more about this staff. Then you will awaken. It will only be a brief time, simply an hour-long jaunt, and then we will return to our corporeal bodies, no worse the wear. I'm sure you're looking at my eye and having some concerns. That was a much different situation. This is controlled.
You've done this before?
I've done this before with our mutual friend and many, many others. You can trust this. And right now, actually, I think he's also shifting your labels. Right now, he's raising your freak and lowering your mundane. He's pointing out to you that you are psychically powerful and psychically connected to things.
You can lower my mundane, but you can't raise my freak any higher.
Oh, your freak is at highest?
Yeah.
So you've got a choice. You can either reject his influence, which is a roll, or you can mark a condition.
I'm going to roll to reject.
Okay. So you're saying, like, no, I'm not freaky.
I can pass.
Yeah. Very true. Uh-oh.
Shit. No, I cannot.
All right. So here's what happens. So first off, you mark potential, which is great, because that is, what is that? That's a four.
Mm-hmm.
You mark a condition, and I'm going to shift your labels.
Okay. I'm going to be insecure.
Okay. Yeah. And that makes some sense.
Yes.
And I'm going to lower your superior and raise your mundane. You feel in over your head, mm-hmm. and like this was not a good idea.
Yes.
Yeah, wiser minds would not have ended up in a basement full of snakes about to take a shot of snake venom.
Yes. Yeah.
And he can also see like this hesitation, and he sees a little bit of your not liking that.
Mm-hmm.
But he just for now, like you see him noticing it, and he doesn't make any attempt to hide that fact. But then he just like reaches down and he picks up the shot glass and he says, "I can start if you'd prefer."
Yes, after you.
And he takes the shot back and kind of like leans back in the chair for a moment and takes a deep sigh. It burns a bit on the way down, but it won't do any permanent harm to you. It won't hurt you in any way. It's like a shot of vodka. And then his brow furrows for a moment and goes, "Although hopefully you don't know that yet."
Vodka? No. No. Nope. Never tried it.
And he goes ahead and just lets out a little chuckle as he sort of leans back in his chair and crosses his arms and closes his eyes. What do you do?
I'm going to take the shot and knock it back.
Fantastic. So when you take a shot of Mithondates snake venom, immediately find yourself in the dream realm. Roll plus freak. On a hit, you are well in control of yourself. Create your body in the form that most suits you and gives you the most power. On a 6-, you're in over your head. Create yourself as someone unsure of themselves. On a 10+, immediately draw a tarot card and activate its arcana to your benefit.
Okay. So I need to roll now?
So you need to roll now. Plus freak. I see a 3. I don't see the other one.
A 1.
Okay, so that's 4. That's 7. So you don't draw a card.
Okay.
But you do get to kind of tell us badass, psychic, in control arcana.
Okay.
So are you still a teenager? Are you still young? Do you have like specific ornamentation or specific clothing that makes you super heroic, controlled, prepared arcana?
Okay. There are elements of arcana as an adult that she has ripped from the newspaper clipping she saw in the other world.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of more of a super heroic costume. It's okay. More coordinated. Thick boots with a bit of a heel, which is weird. And still the same domino mask. She's definitely older, a little bit more muscled, just carries herself a little bit more stridently, more cool. Upright.
Yeah. And she also has the staff. So we get this panel that shows first Alina closing her eyes after taking that shot of venom, and then her opening her eyes. And there is a definite like glow behind it. I'm trying to remember. Do you remember what color we used for? Did we have a color for your psychic abilities?
No, there's no.
It was more
visible.
Like a wave thing, right? Mm-hmm. In the comic, yeah. So there's just kind of like a sense of power mm-hmm. behind her eyes as they open, and we see her sitting in the same chair that she was sitting in, and the ring of chairs is all there, and across from her is Adler, but instead of the staff being in the middle of the table, it's now like sitting on her lap, as though it's like chosen her, and it feels like very much a part of what she is in this grown-up arcana. So Adler opens his eyes, and he looks radically different from when he sat down with you. He has the eye patch back on the snake bite eye, but he looks probably 25 years younger. This is kind of him at the height of his Silver Age power. And so he's in his old Silver Age costume, which has like cut off sleeves that show big, big strong arms and tattoos of snakes down them. And he has, just the look of someone very much in control. It's almost like wizard robes that mm-hmm. are sleeveless, because wild and crazy cosmic adventures. So his eyes open and, he smiles at you and you can see that he has fangs, like snake-like fangs coming down from the top teeth. They don't like cause him to be unable to close his mouth because mm-hmm. again, dream reality. But they're like definitely a present thing. So he stands up and he says, I just realized I never actually asked you what I should be calling you. Do you have a preferred name?
I think in this construct, I'm feeling a little bit less vulnerable, mm-hmm. although I do have insecure marked.
Okay.
You can call me Arcana.
And he nods at that and he says, a pleasure to meet you, Arcana. And he just gives like a very warm, welcoming smile and then stands up from the seat and turns and starts to walk away. And when he's like three steps away, the panel changes and you're in like this lush, dark forest and the sky above is like molten in greens. So just everything is bright and just like, It is very much a deep jungle sort of situation. And he calls over his shoulder, now that we're here, we have to find a good place of power, a place to really bring out the staff's abilities. And he definitely has like a bit of a lisp on his S's based mm-hmm. on his weird mouth now. Mm-hmm. But he seems to be, like, kind of encouraging you deeper into the jungle. What do you do?
I'm going to follow him.
Okay. I assume you're keeping the staff on you.
Yes.
Yeah. And so there's a couple of panels that just sort of show you moving and adventuring through the jungle. There's like a panel that shows you lifting a weird mutated jungle cat in the air that leaped out and tried to attack you guys. There's a panel of you having to like jump over a river embankment and things like that. Like it's just kind of big adventure that is just kind of put as almost like an afterthought in this one. And then there's a shot of you and Adler looking out over this huge drop down into a circular pit that is probably like 200, 250 feet down. It's going to be not super easy to get down there in theory. There's just a wide variety of snakes just filling the bottom of the pit, and there's like a cave leading down from there. And so the panel shows Adler pointing down into it, and he says, I believe the answers should be down there.
How am I supposed to get down there?
And he turns and smiles at you, all fangs, and says, didn't I tell you how powerful your mind is? Here, everything is your mind.
So I am going to attempt to imagine a way down there.
Okay.
In the form of a spiral staircase.
Okay.
Sort of maybe emerging from the ground below and just sort of spiraling its way up to where I am at the cliff.
Fantastic. Go ahead and roll plus freak to unleash your powers.
Oh, boy.
That's a... Wow. That's a 14?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Very nice.
I hella did that.
You did that. So, yeah. So, this spiral staircase coming down is... It's super magical looking, too. And it is just... It's crafted of the same black and white wood from the staff. And you can feel the staff reacting to you and like reacting to it and just willing it into being. It feels very powerful. You've never felt this powerful in your psychic things. I don't think you've ever projected anything to this extent. And as you're walking down, partway down, there's a landing. And on the landing is a small table set up in the middle. And you can hear Adler walking down the stairs behind you. And he's just like moving confidently, clearly unconcerned that you might do anything with the stairs. And so there's a little table in the center of this landing that has the lockbox from Adler's house in the middle of it. But you can also walk further all the way down if you don't want to do anything with the lockbox.
I'm going to ask him, hey, what is this doing here?
His brow furrows and he says, I don't, it's simply a piece of the dream realm that has been created. Did you pull it into being?
I guess I must have.
I certainly didn't.
I'm going to try and open it.
Okay. Your code goes in, no problem. And when you open it up, there is a stack of cards inside. The cards are a full tarot deck.
Mm-hmm.
What do the cards look like? Because these are yours and you created them.
Well, they are, the backs are very intricately embellished with gold foil on the back. There's some deep purples and blues.
Cool.
They're, you know, bigger than the regular playing cards, but not so big that they don't fit in one hand. And each card is wonderfully illustrated with lots of lovely pastels, bright colors, in the style of Alphonse Mucha. So it's very Art Nouveau.
Okay.
And intricate patterns in the background with beautiful figures, very ethereal, very delicate.
Okay, fantastic. And you can feel as you're starting to like hold the cards that this is that the staff brought these cards through you. So like something of your intention and your mind created these cards through the convenience of the staff. And then we get a panel that shows Adler, and he looks concerned. And he takes a step towards you and holds out a hand, and you can see that where he has the tattoos, it actually is like scales going up his arms. And he reaches out a hand to you, and he says, there are illusions and trickeries in this world, things that we should not trust, things that could be too dangerous. Give me the cards.
No, I am going to not keep them away from him.
And he, like, we get a panel that shows you, like, pulling them away and him taking another step towards you. And you hadn't really noticed in the physical world, but he's pretty tall and pretty big and maybe even just is taller and bigger in this realm. And he holds out his hand and he says, Arcana, you don't understand what you're messing with here. This could get us all, this could get us both killed. And he is actually currently trying to shift your labels he is trying to lower your freak and raise your mundane.
Okay. Maybe if he explained himself, I would be a little bit better at or more willing. But as it stands,
rejecting that influence?
I'm going to reject the influence.
Fantastic.
Five.
Okay. So you mark a condition. Oh, and you mark potential.
All right. Now I'm scared. So I'm also afraid.
Okay.
Fuck.
And I'm gonna lower your freak and raise your mundane.
Okay.
He's going to try to take it from you now. And so you see him kind of like pull back for a moment like a snake. And he just hurls himself forward and is reaching straight for the cards.
I'm going to block him.
Okay.
I'm going to try and get a elbow in the throat or just...
Okay. So you're trying to stop him physically doing this. All right, go ahead and roll to directly engage a threat. However, I have good news for you because I think your danger is not great.
No, it's not.
Because of your current location, you can directly engage a threat using freak.
Okay, but I also have to...
Subtract because of a condition.
Yes.
Yeah, that still stays.
It's a four.
It's a four? Okay. So Adler charges for... He leaps at you and just grabs the cards and pushes you. And you start like falling down the stairs. And you look up and you see him and he's got just a wide sneer on his face. So he has the cards in his hands and he looks down at you and just like this truly reptilian smile comes to his face and he pulls a card from the deck and it is the Knave of Rods. And so as you're kind of like tumbling down the stairs and you like land on the bottom and there's just snakes all around you, kind of like slithering for now away from you, the staff suddenly disappears from your hand and appears in his.
Shit.
So he's standing up on this landing of this staircase and like just looking down at you. And I'm actually going to say he like leans back his head and gives like a... I have it now. You stepped into this. You gave it to me, you fool.
I've read up on... Adler.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's been pretty well known. I'd like to share some information, so I have to roll plus superior.
Excellent. All right, go ahead and roll.
Okay.
That's an 11 on the table. So. Yes.
And so it's a 12.
Fantastic. So here's what we're going to do. This is all going to be in kind of like a thought bubble.
Okay.
As you're looking up at Adler.
I've read files on Mr. Adler, and one of the things is he's very powerful, but as everyone knows, psychically very powerful, but that power comes with an ego, which is vulnerable and doesn't respond well to challenges.
Okay.
So if I threaten his sense of himself in any way, it might be enough to throw him off balance.
Yeah, perfect. So you are, so we get that in kind of like a thought bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a sort of like the scene now is much less green because you're now in like this pit going downward. And let's say it's like obsidian stone. So it's all like cool blacks and sort of some silvers going on and with the big staircase going up and Adler glaring down at you. And then we get a sort of like a bit of resonance that's up from the top of the pit. Because you're absolutely right. Adler has an ego and Adler is extraordinarily powerful. And now that you're like focusing in and using all of your attention, and maybe now that the staff isn't on you, you feel things a little differently and you can feel Adler. And he's not in this pit. Adler is still up in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that looks like Adler on the staircase is not him. So now you can ask me any question, and I have to answer you honestly.
So is the real Adler a friend or foe?
He is a friend. You can ask me that question. You can ask me any question. I have to answer honestly. Adler is a friend.
Okay.
The fake Adler is not a friend, obviously. So you can feel Adler, and you can feel that he's running towards you. He's making his way to you as quickly as he can. But the fake Adler, the snake Adler, is not any friend of yours. And as you are like putting everything together, he's turning and starting to run up the staircase.
Okay. I am in the pit, right?
In the pit, yeah. This is the pits.
I am going to try to knock him off balance.
Okay.
On the staircase. Because that's
Yeah, he's climbing up that staircase. So how are you doing that?
I'm basically just probing the staircase itself for weaknesses.
Okay.
And just trying to sort of
pull it down.
Pull the railing off so some steps fall down.
Yeah.
And just trying to maybe shake it a little bit.
Fantastic.
And see if it's enough to get him to fall.
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers. I'm sorry to have lied to you about it being Adler, but. Oh, damn.
It's 11.
Plus freak, unless you've got a condition. Well, what? I mean, plus freak and then minus two if you have a condition that affects unleash your power.
Okay, so 13, right?
That's an 11 so far. Plus freak is plus two. Yeah, yep. 13. Okay. So you kind of, you just reach up with your mind and just, you created this staircase. This is your staircase. And if he does not want, if he's climbing the staircase and you don't want him to, he can't. So a couple of the steps just disappear from underneath him. And he just tumbles forward and like hits his head on the step in front of him. And just falls like 40 feet and lands on the ground. And for a moment, he's just, we get a panel of him lying on his back with the staff and the deck of cards held in his hands and snakes just moving all over him. What do you do?
I'm grabbing the cards and the staff and I'm calling up to the real Adler.
Okay, so we get a panel of you running over. And which do you grab first, the cards or the staff?
The cards.
Okay. You run up and you grab the cards and you feel them connected to you again. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the cards.
Okay.
Because the staff has a lot of power, enough so that it overwhelms some of your psychic powers. You're not quite powerful enough to wield it to its full effect. So when you have it, your mind is a little fogged, a little unable to fully process things in the dream world, which is why you were not able to tell that this was Adler initially. The cards are intrinsically linked to you. If you draw a card and activate it without looking at it, you're going to make a roll.
Okay.
That roll is plus freak. On a hit, you interpret the card result from the major arcana, and it affects the world. If you're in a dream reality or in a dreamy sort of state, then it could affect it very physically.
Okay.
If you're in the real world, then it will be more of a metaphysical thing.
Okay.
On a 10 plus, you additionally receive a plus one forward acting upon that information.
Okay.
On a 6 minus, you still draw a card, but I'm able to give the interpretation.
Okay.
So it's less likely to be positive. But it's available to you.
All right.
So you can feel your psychic power connected to these cards,
mm-hmm.
and that these cards are connected to chance and fate and destiny in the universe. And that all happens very quickly. And we get a panel that shows you like floating in space with all of the cards just arrayed around you and all of this knowledge and all this connectivity. And like the cards have vague influences that are clearly from some of the other comics. We see some faces that look familiar to you in the cards, but like just wrong enough that it isn't like totally freaking you out in this moment. We'll see if it freaks you out later. And so there's this huge, beautiful splash panel that shows Arcana in her majesty and in her power. And then we come back to her scrambling through the dirt and through the dust and seeing the snake Adler, fake Adler, lunging up at you as you try to take the staff from him. And he goes, "No, it's mine."
I'm going to ask for help again. So,
okay.
Little help down here.
So yeah, we get a panel that shows him grab onto your shoulders and just hurl himself forward. And there's just like snakes dripping off of him now because they were all like on top of him. And he slams you against the wall of this pit. And you've got the cards in your hand, and we get the panel that shows Adler coming to the top of the pit. And he is in his old form, like he's in his regular form, but with the eye patch completely gone. He's open to the world, and both eyes are snake eyes. And like, he's clearly been like ripped up. He did not do so well against some of like the giant cats and the threats, because Snake Adler was probably doing psychic things to harm him as well. So like one of his, like he's got just like a big part of his shirt has just been ripped open, and there's like an actively bleeding wound. He's limping. And he just looks like tired and frazzled and beat up as he comes to the top.
Oh, well, shit. Okay.
But he's here now, and he like rears back and hurls himself into the pit towards you. You can trust in him and see what will happen, or you can do something.
Okay.
What do you do?
No time like the present. Is this something that I could use to draw a card for?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to draw a card.
All right. Go ahead and draw a card and then roll plus freak.
Okay. The tower.
The tower. All right.
9 plus freak.
Freak.
So 10, 11.
Okay. So you get to interpret it, and you take a plus one while working on this interpretation. Because you're in the dream realm, it can be physical and huge and big. I know you know more about the tarot than I do, but as I've pulled up some information on it. Upright, disaster, upheaval, sudden change, revelation. Reversed, avoidance of disaster, fear of change. And I'm going to say, I forgot to check whether it was upright or reversed, but you can make the call which okay. of those it was.
All right. There are just giant roots from ancient trees just rising through the snakes and just holding on to him and sort of forming some sort of cage. And it's kind of clinging tightly, and it's sort of rubbing some of his scales off.
Fantastic. So just like the upheaval of the ground and just like starting to like push into him
mm-hmm.
and rip at his astral body.
Yes.
And as that happens, like as you hold him and start to push him back with that, he's still kind of up in your face. He's got you up against the wall. And his face starts to transform into more of a snake face, and his neck starts to extend, and he's starting to like, he like leaps forward, and we get a panel of his mouth just around your face, just like fully ready to just bite down like sideways around your face. And then we get Adler's arm wrapping around its neck and just pulling him back.
Oh, thank God.
So there are branches and roots pushing through his body, and he's changing and shifting and becoming more snake-like. And Adler's trying to hold on to the snake. But you're right there in front of him as well. What do you do?
I'm going to try another card.
Oh, geez. Okay. Go ahead and draw a card.
Okay. The Empress.
The Empress. Okay. Go ahead and roll.
10. So the card is the Empress, and as I'm looking at it, it just looks kind of familiar.
Okay.
Yet foreign at the same time. You know, I've seen the images before, obviously, when I was called Arcana for the first time by Fracture. I went and did a deep dive. So I know that the Empress usually has her hair braided, but it's flowing and it's sort of all around her. And the face is just very familiar. And I stare at it until I realize that it looks almost identical. It looks like Sage is staring right back at me.
Cool. Yeah. And now you have, you have that 10 plus result. So you get to make the interpretation in this realm and affect it immediately in a physical manifestation.
Okay.
And so just to repaint the panel, I think how this has been, how the first one looked is you like pushing a card out of the deck because you were actively involved in combat. But now you have, like you draw it and you look at it and we get a panel of just everything around you kind of fading and like the snake trying to bite at you and just slowing down and seeming less important as you come into this moment that is yours and you are still and crystallized seeing this card. And then things are going to snap back to reality with you having this control, this mental control, Adler holding the snake back as it continues to transform and become more and more snake-like, and you having kind of the drop now, the movement on it. So the Empress is about fertility, femininity, beauty, nature, abundance, and sort of just, about powerful femininity and powerful women. Which I guess right now you are the woman that is there. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, you can just use that. Like you can interpret this however you want to. You could make Penance come out and drop kick him. Like this is your move.
Okay. All right. So I close my eyes and I just feel all of the resources, the power of women through the ages, and I just draw it into myself, and I sort of hover above the ground a little bit as I'm drawing all the energy up. And when I open my eyes, I know that if I just push him down out of the arms of the real Adler, that everything's going to be okay. So I push the fake Adler down to the bottom of the pit, and a ring of fire immediately springs up around him.
Cool. Is it? And I think that fire is like colored in the style of Penance's flames and everything like that.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Adler himself just like pulls back from it and the flames are surrounding the snake and it continues to like contort and shift and change and it is staring at you and trying to like bite at you, but it is held. And Adler reaches down and picks up the staff and moves to you, holding it out for you if you want it.
I think I'm good for now. You can, I trust you to keep it safe.
And he nods at you and he says, I think I understand what this staff does, but perhaps we should return to our own realm before we discuss it. I'm losing a lot of blood.
You lose blood in the astral plane?
And he kind of gives a smile and says, when you dive deeply enough, you can.
Okay.
So what does it look like as you move back from the astral plane?
It feels like being sucked back into your body.
Okay.
You kind of see lots of blurring colors, almost as if you're traveling long distances at a very high rate of speed.
Yeah.
And then you sort of jolt up, jolt awake. And your eyes open. And it takes a couple of seconds.
Yeah, fantastic. Things are kind of in gray at first and just sort of a little runny on the page. And when things fully form, the first panel that we see is your hands around a deck of cards and your knuckles are bright white from holding it so hard. But you awaken. And Adler awakens, and he looks just drained. He looks so tired. His skin is just pale, and he reaches down and takes out a little flask and pours a little bit of something into the flask and reaches across to pour a little bit for you as well, and says, "Antivenom, it'll help a bit with the headache," and shoots it on down. And the next panel shows the two of you seated across from each other with the staff having now moved. Like, the staff has moved from when you initially went to sleep, and it is, like, firmly in front of him. It's clear that he has control of it, and you have the cards. And in the enclosure, the snake that you got the venom from is kind of, like, shaking and spasming, and then it dies. And he looks over to it and he says, "He was always a nasty son of a bitch. I didn't expect that bringing the staff in would give him so much control, so much power, but..."
What? Who was that? What are you talking about?
And he stands up and he's moving a little stiffly, and he says, "That was the snake. The venom that we take connects us to the serpents and gives us a way to see the world through their eyes. A control of the dream realm that humans just simply don't have. But when we brought the staff in, it felt its power. And it wanted the power for itself. I think we narrowly avoided a very bad situation."
Okay. This is insanity. You're telling me that that thing that talked to me,
yes,
that fooled me into thinking it was you,
yes,
was an astrally projected snake?
You're holding a deck of cards in your hand right now that weren't there when you took snake venom. And I believe they will match perfectly what you saw, and I believe them to have immense power of their own. And you're concerned that a snake was able to fool you.
Well, yeah.
Think back to history. Think of the stories that we tell. Snakes are wily creatures and very likely to pull the wool over people's eyes. It's okay that it was able to fool you. Don't worry.
It shouldn't have. I should have been able to figure that out. I mean, it was a snake. I just assumed that because I had changed in the astral plane,
mm-hmm.
that you would have too, that you would have looked different as well.
And it preyed on that. It took advantage of that. I am unchanged when I project because I am at the height of my power. You were changed because you haven't reached it yet. And that's okay. You're getting closer to it. The staff could make that happen faster. It takes mutation, it takes ability, especially psychic ability, and expands it and gives you more of it. Like turning the spigot on a hose. Less control, but more power.
I still don't understand. I mean, Evan must have been looking for a way to transmutate powers from his non-powered flock. But how would it work with non-powered people?
So we get a panel of that shows the two of you like moving, and you've moved into the kitchen at this point because probably hanging out in a room with a dead snake, not super fun. And this is just kind of a little nicer. And he's got some grilled cheese sandwiches that he's making up because you're so hungry. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of expenditure. And he just says to you, "I'm sorry, I don't know who Evan is, but he has intentions to awaken." Awaken mutation? Psychic genes?
Yes. He's the leader of a very deep underground group. He hasn't been seen on this continent since I was 5. I knew he had something planned. I just don't know what.
Well, it's easy enough to tell that this is a powerful artifact, and I'm sure that there are writings that would confirm that. I'm sure he knows that it's a powerful artifact if he's looking for it. But the good news for us, I guess two pieces of good news. The first is that it will not awaken a dormant mutated gene, nor a dormant psychic. That is something that you don't need to worry about, because that could be quite a dangerous thing. All it will do is strengthen a mutation. So if there is a mutation that is already present, something that he or someone else is able to use, this could make it a truly powerful one. But it won't awaken something from nothing. You can't grow a plant without any seeds. The other good piece of news is that we have it.
I appreciate your help with this, but we don't have anything. I have the resources to keep this staff safe from the people who seek it, and I'm the only one I trust to do so.
He nods at that, and he just takes the staff for a moment, and there's a little moment that looks like a look of regret. And then he peers at you and he says, "Do you intend to just leave it in a closet? This is a dangerous artifact if it fell into the wrong hands, but it could be a boon in the right ones. I'm not asking you to give it to me. This is yours, and I'm not going to try to take it from you. You've already had someone try to take it from you, and that wasn't fair, not anything that I intended."
What did you intend?
To find the truth. To figure out what this artifact was capable of. And I think we did.
I'll say.
You don't have to answer right now. But if you trust me, I can take it and use it for your good. And when you are ready to take it yourself, I will give it to you. Or if you feel you are ready today, walk out with it and improve the world. There are things that if we simply bury, if we simply wait on, if we simply don't use, then it's just delaying until someone with evil and darkness in their heart is able to take it back, and they will use it, assuredly, this Evan or somebody else. But if this is something that can be used for good, how could we not use it? I'm a madman that goes in his basement and drinks snake poison, and someday it will kill me. But the good that I'm able to do right up until that end makes up for it. And actually, right now, I think he is shifting your labels.
Okay.
I think he's lowering your mundane and raising your savior.
Okay. I think I'm going to accept that.
Okay. That doesn't mean you need to accept what he says. It just means that he is painting you as a force of good and a possible hero.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you have to wield the staff. Yeah.
I don't think I know enough about this staff in order to wield it properly. Do you have another snake around?
I have many snakes around. If you'd like, we can go back it under. Although I can also help you. I can train you to project on your own.
I think I'd like that.
And he reaches into his wallet and he takes it out and he fishes out a business card and just kind of holds it across out to you.
This is a nice card.
It is. It's got all like silver all around it and it has like a definite snake motif. He leans in hard to it. He's silver generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that's the last panel in his house. And so, did you bring the staff with you when you left, or did you leave it with him?
No, I kept it.
Okay. Yeah. So the next panel is definitely going to show that. And you're back at your base. And are you telling the asset any of this stuff, or are you keeping it close to the chest?
Well, he did guide me there.
Okay.
Or he did direct me there. So it's not as if I can avoid saying anything about it.
Okay.
But as for what happened exactly, mm-hmm. I think it's best for me to edit out, give him the edited version.
Great. So are you like sending him a message or are you actually like calling him?
I think a text will suffice.
Okay.
Say, I text him, dropped by the Adder. Mm-hmm. Strange character, if you don't mind me saying so. We should talk when you get a second.
And we get a panel that shows him like actively involved in combat with somebody. And they're wearing like they're wearing just like the same Navy business suits that we've been seeing the Appointed in. And he just kind of like glances at his watch that has the message appearing and then punches the guy in the jaw and then takes out the phone and dials and your phone rings.
Hey.
Hey, you talk to the Adder?
Yes.
Yeah, real strange son of a bitch. You know I wouldn't normally send you to him if I could avoid it, but he knows his stuff. No denying.
Yes, I think we kind of discerned what the staff is used for, and we're going to need an upgrade in our vault.
And it shows him, and he's kind of chuckling a bit at that. And like the panel kind of zooms out, and you can see that he's like in a warehouse, and there's like six people that he's beaten up recently. And he says, all right, I bet we can come up with something. Listen, I'm in the middle of something right now, but I'm glad to hear it went well. And you figured out what it does. Any clue where it leads?
I don't think it leads anywhere. I think I lead it somewhere.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at HerlockHolmes1. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.